Are you ready? He's back. He's better. And he's got something to say. You've tuned in for your daily inspiration. Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
David Mastin.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Episode 10 of the I Got Something to Say podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Again, thank you for everyone who's listened, who shared, commented, liked, and has really just been positive about this podcast. I appreciate it. I appreciate, all the positive feedback, and most of importantly, I appreciate that it's been helping people. When I first started this podcast, the goal was not to get necessarily 1,000 people listening, right? I wasn't necessarily thinking about, you know, necessarily reaching thousands or hundreds. I don't know. I didn't have that goal in mind. A quantified amount of who I wanted to reach. I just had in mind that I wanted to help somebody. And I've been able to do that, I think. Even if it's just one person or two people or whatever. God is blessed. So thank you again for joining me this week. Today's podcast, I have to admit something. I am a trash friend. And when I say I'm a trash friend, I say that because I was on Facebook and I saw this. It wasn't a commercial, but it was this comedian who was doing like his weekly inspiration. And in this weekly inspiration, he pretty much said, what was the thought? It was, cause I want to make sure I get it right. He was saying, okay, this is how it went. He was saying that people are going through this pandemic, it is hard for a lot of them. They're enclosed. They may miss hanging out with friends and all this kind of stuff. And he said that the best time, you know, during this pandemic and being at home, the best time to really connect to friends is now. And he said, so I have a remedy for how to get good quality friends. And it was very, very short video, maybe 5 minutes long. And he said how you get good quality friends is you have to first be a good friend. And I thought about that and it hit me so hard because a lot of times in prayer, sometimes I ask God to help me to build good, strong friendships, especially, you know, it's no secret now. Me not being with my son's mother and, you know, I'm over here by myself or, you know, except for when my son is with me, I can get, you know, sometimes lonely or I don't, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't have a whole lot of people to reach out to other than my brothers or my family or my mother. And I've always asked, you know, God, help me to build good friendships, And this guy talks about if you want good quality friendships, that you have to be a good quality friend. And it hit me like, man, you're a trash friend, dude. And the reason I say that is because I can sometimes seclude myself. And I can sometimes seclude myself to the point to where I reject people who may care about me or who may consider themselves friends or whatever. I like reject those people. I enclose myself or I seclude myself from those people because I struggle sometimes with letting people in. And a lot of times I do that because, so as a man, it is very hard to admit, and this is, I know this may seem like I'm getting off track, but it's not. I'm about to relate this in. As men, it is hard for us to say when our feelings are hurt, right? Because as a guy, as men, we're not supposed to say that, man, that hurt my feelings or that hurt me, right? And actually there's a meme on Facebook where it says, men, a lot of times all you have to say is that hurt my feelings. And as a man, you don't necessarily want to say that because you feel like it degrades your manhood. But a lot of me secluding people is because I've been burnt sometimes in the past. And in order to stop myself from being burnt, I just say, you know what, I'll just be by myself. Along with, you know, secluding myself, and not wanting to, you know, have to deal with that confession of the interaction with people and them intentionally or unintentionally hurting your feelings or having good motives or bad motives or whatever. I also seclude myself because I'm a very huge introvert. Extreme. It's on another level. Social gatherings give me anxiety. Large crowds give me anxiety. So I used to go to this rather large church, and some people would think I was like just this extremely quiet guy who didn't laugh, who didn't have jokes, it was just serious all the time, or no one really wanted to approach me because, you know, I had this, you know, serious face on my face or whatever, or this is what was told to me. But the reason that is isn't because I'm unhappy with being there. The reason that is because crowds make me clench. It's extremely like it makes me stress so much in these big large crowds. And so I get real quiet. I try to find a corner. I try not to really talk too much because I'm very, very stressed because it's a lot of people. That did not always work well when I would go out or I would be in these large groups or whatever. Because people would always wonder what was wrong with me. That there's nothing wrong. It's just it's too many people. and so I want to go put my back against the wall and just crouch in a corner. And so that's another reason, you know, why, you know, I you know, am not as outgoing or whatever. And then another reason, I guess, that I realized I'm a trash friend is I have relationships with people who've had relationships with me, and I have not once reached out to them during this pandemic, right? I haven't checked in on them. I haven't checked to see how they were doing. Maybe one or two people. And I've reached out to my family, of course. But I have a ton of people who I know, who I fellowshipped with in the past, or I've had relationships with in the past, and I haven't even texted them to say, hey man, you doing all right? Or, you know, how you feeling? How's the family? You know what I mean? And I just, all of these thoughts came to my mind, and I'm like, man, I am a sucky friend. Like, I am just, I suck as a friend. Like, you know, I don't think I suck as a person. You know, because I think I didn't do it intentionally. It's just because of those reasons that I described of, you know, wanting to exclude myself and being an introvert and, all the thoughts that have gone through my head. I just haven't reached out to anybody, right? Because, you know, in my bubble, there's this safety, but also in this bubble, there's no friendships that can be developed because I am, secluded, introverted, and not, you know, refuse to get out my show or refuse to reach out. And, you know, you get in the hustle and bustle of your life with work, with your children, with my, you know, my son trying to advance in my career and all this kind of stuff. And you kind of just, I just realized that I suck as a friend, right? And here's the thing. Here's what I'm not going to let you guys do. I'm not going to let you pull me down that rabbit hole of, oh man, he's just a terrible friend. Some of y'all out here that's listening to me suck as friends too. And guess what? It's okay, right? It's okay to realize that there's a flaw. It's okay to realize that I'm not perfect at everything. It's okay to realize that you have extreme struggles that you have to work on. And it's also okay to know that that's not going to be fixed overnight, right? So I'm not about to reach out to 25 people and just chop it up all of a sudden, right? Like, no, it's going to take some time for me to get out of what I'm used to. I say that to say this because I know that's something that all of us really struggle with at times, is being really, really a trash friend, right? I again, relating this back to biblical terms, because whenever I think of an improvement that I need to make, a lot of times my answer for what I'm struggling with is in the Bible, right? And it's always something that I reference, or I try to reference when I'm trying to improve myself on a particular area. So there's a scripture in Proverbs where it talks about, let me quote it right. I want to make sure that I am not butchering this. There's a scripture in the Bible in Proverbs 18:24 that says verbatim, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Right? Something that's neat to know about the Bible is that not every word. So let me try to phrase this the best way that I can. So sometimes words in the Bible that were translated to English. So, all right, let me try to explain this the best way that I know. So Old Testament was translated from Hebrew to English. and New Testament, which is comprised of Latin and Greek, was translated into English. Well, sometimes there's multiple words in Hebrew or multiple words in Latin and Greek that can mean the same one word in English. And I'll give you an example with this particular scripture. So each friend in this verse means something different. And so there's three different Hebrew words, but when translated, there's friends, friendly, and friend. And so I know that that's kind of confusing, right? The big thing to understand is that that's why sometimes studying is appropriate. A lot of times individuals will get misinterpretations of certain things about the Bible because they may not know that information, or it could be that they're reading maybe a King James Version and it's a little difficult to understand. And so it takes more work for them to look at a different version and accuse the first version of being wrong or incorrect. It's not necessarily that the King James Version is wrong or incorrect. It just means that you have to study to know that these words can sometimes translate to the same word. And you have to use context to understand the meaning. It's just like reading any other book. If you were studying Shakespeare, you would want to make sure that you had the proper context before you just blurted out what something meant, right? Or any other book that you would read. That's why you read them, is you gain knowledge and you get information. Well, that's why we read the Bible, is because this has this information that helps our spirit and also helps us to grow as, not, I say it helps me grow as a child of God and as a Christian, and it helps me to grow in my relationship with Christ. But also there's things that you can collect here that can improve your life, right? So Bible lesson 101 is done, and probably the only one you get for me. But reading this particular scripture, a man that have friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The first friend is translated into someone that is a companion, like a neighbor. The second friend, friendly, is translated into sort of like an evildoer. But then the last friend is love, right? So to avoid yourself the headache, if you read potentially in a different version, let's use a different version to help us just kind of translate it. The scripture would translate to, there are friends who bring ruin, but there are true friends more loyal than a brother. So I say that to say, to kind of help me and us be better friends, right? It's describing that there are some people and there's some companions that don't necessarily edify us. They don't really bring any edification to our lives. They're not really friends. And then there's some who stick close to you, or as close to you as your brother and your sister. Right? So in relation to that, what we want to take a look at is that, are you being someone to somebody else that they could consider their family, or would they see you as someone who doesn't bring any edification to their life at all? You see, a lot of times when we think of friendships, we think about the other person and what the other person brings to us, but we don't necessarily think about what we bring to them. And it's easy to do, especially if you're in America. You may have this selfish mindset of, and even out of America, if you think about it in general, all human beings, want to succeed, want to be well, want to do well. And because all of us want to do well, be well, and to succeed, what can sometimes get in the way of that is selfishness. We are always in question what the other person brings to the table, but not what we bring to the table. It's easy to blame someone, even in a regular relationship, about what they did wrong, but not look at yourself as what you did wrong. It's easy to blame a divorce on the other person. It's easy to blame the end of a friendship on the other person. But it takes strength to look at yourself to say, am I who I want this person to be? Plain and simple, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Am I the friend that I would want? Which means I have to work on myself as a friend. I have to work on myself as a family member. I have to work on myself as, even if, let's say, your relationship with Jesus Christ, I have to work on myself as a child of God. Because we one-side relationships all too often. And so we can sometimes bring other people to ruin because we only think of ourselves. Or sometimes we cannot even edify. I mean, you don't even have to necessarily bring somebody ruin to be a bad friend. You could just be a non-existent person. Like myself, I never intentionally meant to cause anybody harm. I just been non-existent, right? But then want somebody to always check in on you. But you don't want to check in on nobody else. But there are true friends that are more loyal than a brother. So that got me thinking, right? So again, always trying to think about the Bible and examples of a good friend. Who is considered the best friend in the world? Is there some example that we have of really good friends? Well, we may have personal examples, right, of really good friends or somebody who we consider a good friend. But there's even a better one that anybody can have, a friend that anybody can obtain who is the best example of friendship. It hit me like, where's this example? So if you go to John chapter 15, verse 10 through 15, you'll see the best friend in the whole world. All right, I'm going to read it to you. It says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The joy of being friends with him. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So how does that translate, right? Jesus is now showing to us how he's the greatest friend in the world. And he kind of gives us an outlook of how to be friends to others. The first thing he tells us is about a commitment to boundaries. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might remain, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, right? So the first thing that he tells us to do is we have to follow his commandments. In other words, there's these boundaries that Jesus has created for those that call themselves Christians. And he says, listen, if you and I are going to have the best relationship ever, we have to establish, or I have to establish with you, boundaries. One of the main reasons that all relationships end is because there was not a respect of boundaries. Somewhere along the line in that friendship, in that relationship, or even in marriage, or even in boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever relationship that you're in, there was a violation of boundaries. Now, the caveat to this is that most of us do not communicate what those boundaries are. So when someone crosses them, and because a lot of times we get offended by feedback, which that's another lesson or a podcast that I'm going to talk about, we do not know how to respect boundaries, right? We don't know how to honor them because we don't communicate when someone crosses them, especially men. Men will just stop talking to you. Like, we'll just go a whole month without talking to you because you crossed the boundary, and we don't know how to necessarily communicate that feeling that, yo, you crossed this boundary. You violated this particular boundary. And that hurt me when you violated that boundary. So Jesus, first off, establishes his friendship with us by establishing boundaries. The second thing that he shows us is that to be a very good friend, you have to have sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice one for another. And the sacrifice, we can't necessarily judge each other's sacrifice. Like, I can't, and I want to make sure I explain this thought correctly. I cannot ignore your sacrifice. Like, your sacrifice is the sacrifice that you made for me. And likewise, I have to make sacrifices for you. And there has to be this understanding that in order for our relationship to continue, there has to be an equal, not necessarily, it'll never be, so especially with Christ, like, you will never ever be able to equalize that sacrifice. You'll never be able to equalize the sacrifice of dying on the cross. However, you can make yourself a sacrifice for Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that he's made for you. So there's things you may not do. There's things you may not say. There's things that you will honor him for as a sacrifice, whether it be with your money, whether it be with your time, whether it be with whatever. You sacrifice those things because of the sacrifice that he made for you. Likewise, in friendships, if there's going to be a positive friendship, there has to be sacrifices made on both ends. Sacrifice of money, time, your effort, your energy, who you are as a person. I'll prove it to you. Jesus says, he establishes the boundaries. He says, if you follow my commandments, you'll abide in my love. I'll abide in you, and we'll have a good relationship. We'll have good friendship. He says, this is my commandment, though, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now he's telling you that the best way to be the best friend is that you show the example of love that I show towards you. What was that example? That example was a sacrifice. Well, this is what he says. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, then he goes back and he talks about, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Again, honoring boundaries, commitment to boundaries, and then also there has to be sacrifice. He says that you should love them like I loved you. The same way that I made a sacrifice and laid my life down for you, you have to be willing to do that for each other. Now, what that means is, in order for you to replicate Jesus Christ in your friendship, you have to be able to lay down your desires. You have to be able to lay down what you want. You have to be able to lay down what your thoughts are sometimes, your opinions are sometimes, to sacrifice for somebody else. You have to lay down yourself. That's what it means to be a good friend. You have to, man, sometimes to be a good friend means you have to neglect you to be a good friend. I mean, it's in this book. It does not mean that it's a constant thing. It doesn't neglect self-care. It doesn't neglect that you should be taking care of you. Like, that's not what it is. But I think what has happened in this transition, in some ways into our society, is that we have this saying where it's do you, right? You do you. But sometimes we need to have a mindset of not just what benefits me, but what benefits all of us as a person. Individuals who are racist, I'm sorry, you are a selfish, narcissistic person. Because your only concern is you and your race. Like, you and what benefits you, and you are just really in your own mind. You only care about you. You're not thinking about somebody else. You're not thinking about what you're doing that hurts somebody else and offends somebody else. If you want to be a good friend, you have to sometimes make sacrifices. It means sometimes you have to sacrifice your money. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your time. Sometimes, man, I wanted to go to the movies today, but my friends wanted to hang out. I'm going to hang out today. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to do that all the time. But if you want to be considered, if you want to create good quality friendships, you have to sometimes make sacrifices. That's just how it is. The third thing that Jesus shows is that replicates good friendship is he's a confidant. So this is good. He says. In the last set of scriptures, again, it was John 15:10-15. In the last set of scriptures, he says, for the servant, He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Well, the reason he doesn't call us servants is because for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends because I gave you the scoop. I've made you a confidant. I have opened myself up. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He's saying that I have revealed to you the things that my Father has revealed to you. I've let you in. I've brought you in. I've let you in on the secret to life. I've let you in on the secret to joy. I've let you in on the secret to peace. I've let you in on the secret to abundance. It's not in your money. It's not in your cars. It's not in your house. It's not in the things that you have. The keys to have these things. Notice he says in the text that we're reading, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might remain. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He's saying that I'm giving you the scoop on how to do this. I'm laying down the bird, the wall. I'm tearing the curtain of the temple, and I'm allowing you to enter inside of a space that only friends can enter. If you want to be a good friend, like my, and I'm really talking to myself here, you have to open up. You have to learn to be a confidant. You have to learn to sometimes lay down that wall that you have up and let people in. And you have to analyze the people who you let in. You don't let in everybody. You let in people who you consider friends. And know that whoever you let in, there's going to be times that you might get burned, and that's okay. The point in all of this that Jesus is trying to do in this particular text and in others, when it talks about relationship with him, the goal is to get you back to the relationship that God originally had. When Adam and God communed on a regular basis, and God and Adam spoke on a regular. Well, when Adam sinned and he hid himself from God, God asked Adam, "Where are you?" And it wasn't an inquiry on, like, where are your whereabouts? He wasn't asking him, "Where are you?" in the sense of, in the sense of, like, he didn't know that Adam went into hiding. He was asking him, "Where are you? Because typically you would meet me here. You and I would commune at this, whatever location that they would normally commune at. Where did you go?" Well, when Adam sinned, it separated man from God. And in order to repair that relationship, Jesus came to sacrifice himself, and he broke down that barrier of sin and death with man and God. And so he revealed unto us that we're now friends with him, that it was imputed unto us righteousness, and so now we are friends of God. What that means now is that if you want to be a good friend, you have to be willing to tear the curtain that's separating you between people. It means sometimes you're going to be vulnerable. Sometimes you're going to have to be willing to share, right? How you feel, what you're going through. And it also means that there's no judgment when you do share. Good friends don't mind your flaws. Good friends push you to be better. See, Jesus doesn't mind our flaws. He just pushes us to be better and to do better and attempt to be better. I say all that to say this. We can be trashy friends. But if you want to know the perfect example of friendship, look at Jesus Christ. I can personally tell you that in my life, especially in the past 2 years, that I've gotten to know Jesus on a different wavelength. And when I'm, it's, I only say that, and I don't mean that in any deep way or matter. I only say that because I don't have a better way to describe it. I always knew God, but I've known him in a more personal way. I know him for the peace that he provides and the joy that he desires for us and the love that he desires for us. And it took going through some terrible things to realize that, but I get it now. He's shown me what it means to be a good friend. And if I want to develop good friendships, I have to learn to be a good friend myself. So, we have to work together to be the best friend that we can be. And that means that we have to commit to boundaries. We have to sacrifice. And we have to be a confidant to others. We have to let them in. So, this is hard, going to be extremely difficult for me, especially with me always trying to seclude myself and being an introvert and all those different anxiety things that comes with people. Like, that's going to be a struggle for me. And I think it's going to be a struggle for some of us who are listening. But I hope that what was said today can help and that we get better together. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us. I appreciate you, God, for who you are and for what you do. Thank you for showing us, thank you for showing us what it means to be a good friend. Thank you for showing us your love. And thank you for showing us what it means to stick closer than a brother, God. Father, you stick so close to us. And we don't always give you credit for being a good friend, but God, we appreciate you and we thank you. God, we're asking that you help us to be better friends. Help us to be confidants. Help us to tear down our walls and to open up, God, to others. Help us, God, to commit to boundaries and to learn how to sacrifice for each other. God, I thank you for just being there for us, especially in this crazy time. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Keep us till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you so much for sticking with me. Again, episode 10. I am so happy. I am working on doing this video as well, so stay tuned. But thank you all so much. Thanks for hanging with me. Subscribe, share, and hopefully this bless someone else. Peace.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.